first say thanks to those who, on Wednesday night, I asked if you have any paper regarding the tragic things that took place in St. James with this denomination, that if you had anything from the paper, because while I, like you, have listened it on the radio, what I wanted was probably more detail, and I was glad and saying thanks when I came down Thursday. I found out that many of you have brought us left some paper here for me that I could further read, because I like to get more detail. The title of the lesson today is titled, Jesus Christ Does Not Offer What Some Are Seeking. Jesus Christ does not offer what some men and women are seeking. There are many texts that I could give you that would underline this point. One text is John 6, St. John, that is verse 57 through 60. Could one of you read that passage for us? Jesus Christ does not offer what some men and women are seeking. Let us hear the passage.
As the living Father had sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
He that eateth me, that person shall live, Jesus Christ said. Read.
This is that bread which came down from heaven.
Christ meant, I am that bread which came down from heaven.
Not as your fathers did eat manna,
mm-hmm,
and are dead.
Mm-hmm.
He that eateth of this bread,
mm-hmm,
shall live forever.
Mm-hmm.
These things said he in the synagogue,
mm-hmm,
as he taught in Capernaum.
Read on.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it.
There are many hard saying in Christ's teaching. Christ challenged our minds, our life, our conduct. Read.
He said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before.
Read on.
It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe
what
not.
What verse are you?
Verse 64.
I think we might have skipped. As from that day, many of his disciples walk with him no more. It's right in that same passage.
Verse 66.
Okay, step to that.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
That means they backslide. They did not backslide from one of the apostles' teaching. They backslide from the master himself. Because what Jesus Christ was offering, or turn it the other way, what they were seeking is not what Christ was offering. Men and women should examine why and for what reason they set out to embrace Jesus Christ. I repeat, and that includes you and me. Any man or woman setting out to become a Christian, even joining a church, as people say, changing your life religiously, you should examine why and for what reason you set out to embrace Christ, Christianity, and the church. Why this is necessary? What some men and women are seeking in Jesus Christ and in Christianity are not the things which Jesus Christ really is offering. Jesus Christ came to save us from sin and condemnation. That's simply it. Jesus Christ has specific ways, method, rules, law, by which you and I and every man and woman going to be saved. It's not difficult. It's spelled out in the gospel that Christ is offering forgiveness of sin and salvation from eternal condemnation to every man who will accept his offer. This is spelled out in the gospel. We see this misunderstood purpose that men and women attach to Christ, Christianity. We see this playing out in Christ's personal ministry. That is where men, people run to Jesus Christ. Probably emotionally, thoughtlessly, for something that they thought Christ was there about. We see men and women run to Jesus Christ thinking that Christ's purpose was to show miracle, or that Jesus Christ was eager to do the extraordinary. Run with me to Matthew chapter 12, 38 and 39. Read.
Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees.
These were the religious leaders of Christ's time.
Answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee.
We want a miracle. That's what sign is. We want a miracle from you.
But he answered and said
Jesus
unto them,
Christ answered and said,
and evil and adulterers.
It is an evil and an adulterous generation which seek for signs. You see, they thought Christ would be glad to do the extraordinary. They probably were, shocked when Jesus Christ responded. You have another case where one came wanting and thinking Jesus Christ was here to get involved in family dispute over legacy. That's right. Run to the book of Luke, chapter 12, 13 through 15. Read.
And one of the company said unto him,
Master,
speak to my brother, that he will divide the inheritance with me.
You see, that looked like a legitimate thing. And the implication of the context is like, this man was one of the crowd, are one of the followers, and he thought Jesus Christ would readily call him and his brother together to solve the problem of who gets what from legacy. Listen, Jesus Christ.
And he said unto him,
Jesus Christ said to him,
Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?
Who make me a divider over legacy? You see, this man is another case of misunderstood purpose. That is, they misunderstood the purpose for which Christ was here.
Amen.
And the case we read in the book of St. John, chapter 6, 50 following, where these backslide, left Christ, because somewhere along the way they discovered that what they were seeking is not what Christ is about. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when we read and listen to the extent, did I say the extent? Yes. Did I say when we read and listen to the extent of gullibility and idioticness and religious ignorance which came out of the members of this pathway International Kingdom Restoration Ministry. My God. You know, it makes you wonder, my God, why can't we just accept the simple word of Christ in the gospel? Why we go around looking for complications? Yes, the name of this denomination, where it seems they were cutting people's throat for sacrifice, is the Pathway International Kingdom Restoration Ministry. When you read and when you see, when you hear what was going on, and it seems as if people ran to it, my God, my confusion is, why are people so gullible? My God, why people who go to school and you don't have to have college degree or even high school certificate to be able to think? Truly, I've known people who could hardly sign their name and they could think straight and properly. Now, why then so many people are so gullible? You know another thing? It confuses me. Is why men and women accept falsehood so easily and they are so dedicated to it, and why they find it so difficult to accept the truth. It's not only that you show them, you know, you tell them the source where they can find the truth. But they refuse to even do a little research. Yet when somebody comes with something that is so far-fetched, here is a man supposed to claim to be a preacher. Why do you need the police to escort you in a motorcade through Montego Bay and in your stretch limousine? No, if you want a stretch limousine, go and buy it. That's okay. So I'm not talking about his stretch limousine. That's not the point. But why do you need police to drive through the city? You see, I know the psychology behind that, because that is ego. That is ego trip. That is pride. I know that much. And the Bible is going to speak about that. You see, what we notice too is it seems as if among the motive, it's not only that this man was on an ego trip, but that getting the people's money, are we all there? What one of the, you know, the Bible talks about those who take up the ministry for filthy lucre's sake. Then the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Huh? Well, what? In this quote unquote civilized world, why, my God, you think that you can offer human sacrifice? May I throw something out here, brothers and sisters, visitors? Do you know that there has never been one human sacrifice throughout the 1,500? Yes, throughout the 1,500 years of biblical history. Wait, I'm going to repeat that. The Almighty God has never accepted a human sacrifice. Wait, yes, I'm thinking about God asking Abraham to offer Isaac. But the Almighty God saw to it that didn't go through. I'm also thinking, if you are thinking of it, in the book of Judges, Jephthah, who had committed his daughter, in fact, not his daughter. Jephthah was going to fight a battle and prayed to God for God to give him victory, and told God in that prayer that when he returned, anything meet him first, he would offer it as a sacrifice to God. Probably Jephthah thought that one of his sheep or one of the cow, oxen, would run and meet him or first make contact with him. It so happened that his only daughter was the person who met him. But there is nowhere, while he had committed her to God's service and whatever, there is nowhere where he had offered her as a sacrifice to God. What am I saying? All the 1,600 years of biblical history, from 1,500 B.C. about, when God used Moses, to 100 AD, when the last book of the Bible was written, For 1600 years, there has never recorded in God's word one instance of human sacrifice. Now, a lot of people read the Bible and misunderstand what it is saying, but there has never been one case of God accepting human sacrifice. But it seems as if this false prophet was well prepared. And you know what I find strange? You know, these people, when he wanted to carry out his murderous act, he commanded one of his deputy to cut the throat. You see, it seems as if he was afraid, he didn't want to do it himself. But why anybody? When we cannot go in all the details that many of you have read it, and that, my God, why? My thing is, why people are so gullible? Watch here. Gullibility is shown in various ways. But God does not want Christians to be gullible. God does not want his people to be simple-minded. Are we all there? Let me show you how gullible we are. You go to your doctor. The doctor examines you, and the doctor writes something on a piece of paper and gives you. You go to the pharmacy, and you pay for the medication. And both the doctor and the prescription written tell you how to take it. Huh? And you take it. You take the medicine. Many of us have done that. My point now is, for one, you don't know what is in that medicine. 99% of the time, and a lot of time we don't even ask the doctor. Sometimes we'll ask the doctor, what is this for? And the doctor will make one statement. It will help your condition or whatever. And he finish. You don't ask, doctor, what is in the medicine? All when you go home and taste it and it tastes bad. You take it. You know what now my thing is? And I'm still talking about gullible. Is that now we have a virus. Are we all there? Now that virus does not exist. In fact, it reached here long after it had reached other places. Remember, the virus reached Europe. That is, place like England, Germany, Switzerland, name it. It reached there and it was killing people. It's supposed to have started in China. It reached the United States, Canada, Australia, North Korea, South Korea, Russia. The virus is all over the world. So people who talk about the government are trying to do something with you. But my God, then, you mean all the government all over the world are trying to do something to their citizens? Eh? Because the virus is not only in Jamaica. Whatever it is doing here, it has done it to other places. Yet people will talk like our government is trying to do something to you, and I don't know what is in the vaccine. But my God, look around when you take medicine, you don't know what is in it. Huh? No, my point, brothers and sisters, if you don't want to take the vaccine, don't take it. But don't talk foolishness. Don't talk foolishness. There is more information about the virus and the vaccine than probably all the medicine that we have taken. That's right. And all we do is listen and listen to the right source. But we don't do that. A person in our house or in our community get your ears and say some foolishness or at your workplace, that person never sit down and read anything from an expert on the matter, and that's the person that you make your authority. Why are we so gullible? So some of the things that I hear about people talk about the virus, I don't even want to listen to them. The only point is, I don't want to be too close to those people, because sooner or later they are likely to be infected with the virus. How does that relate to this? The Pathway International Kingdom Restoration Ministry. What we read about or saw on TV or whatever is about gullibility. You know, Jeremiah in chapter 5 talks about gullibility. Chapter 5, and I think verse 30 and 31. Let me hear it. I think that's the passage I need. Quick, brother.
A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land.
Some time ago I have a lesson that hardly do we expect the word wonderful and horrible to be mixed together. That's right, because it's like they're total opposite. A wonderful and a
horrible thing.
Horrible thing
is committed in the land.
Is committed in the land. What is it, God? Read.
The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means.
Wait, the prophet prophesy that false. Which is false,
and the priests bear
rule by their own rules and regulation. Read.
And my people love to have it so.
We are, that's gullibility, you know. That's gullibility. Eh? The prophet were not telling God's message. The priests were not administering thing by what God's word says. They went by their feeling, their whims and fancy. But you know the tragedy? The people love to have it so. It's because of human gullibility why things that happen in this church and many others will happen. People are too easily swept away by foolishness when they have the opportunity to check out. My God, all that the Almighty God in offering salvation, forgiveness of sin to man and to men and women, all that God asks is that you do your investigation properly. Study to show thyself approved. Ask questions from the right source. We are shocked and struck with the many who are seeking what Jesus Christ, the church, and Christianity do not offer. May I, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ and New Testament Christianity do not offer irrational, emotionalism, or religious intoxication. Repeat that, Brother Mitchell. Jesus Christ and Christianity do not offer irrational emotionalism or religious intoxication. He does not. Did you know that there is no such thing as blind faith? It's something we hear in religious circles. Blind faith. There is no such thing. Faith is not really blind. Faith is based on the word of God. The Almighty God does not ask us to just accept anything. Faith comes by listening to the word of God. And that means wherever genuine faith in the Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, in Christianity exists, it must exist from a point of view of first encountering the word of God. If it is the word of God, it is coming from the right source. The Almighty God does not ask people coming to him to just shut their eyes and accept whatever anyone says. This is why the Bible says that if an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel unto you, curse is on that angel. There is no such thing as blind faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 23 through 25.
If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues and there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy...
Wait, you get the point here. Here is a visitor. And we are speaking, we get the gift of being able to speak French, Russian, Italian, and German language. We get that gift from God. And one or two visitors come in the midst, and different one of us are speaking. Some speaking French, some speaking Italian, some speaking Spanish, some speaking German. The visitor among us, that's what the passage is showing the Corinthians, how orderly they must act when using the gifts and ability God gives them. The person in the audience is going to say, them people are crazy. And you know what is, read on a little more.
But if all prophesy.
If all prophesy.
And there come in one that believeth not. Or one unlearned. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth.
What you get from this passage is that order and rationality must prevail in the church so and in worship so that the unlearned, the ungodly men and women who visit, or even the young Christian can sit and learn, and as a result of sitting, listening, and learning, that unbeliever can make a decision to give his or her life to Christ. That's when you take the passage, it is showing you, I think it is verse, let me hear verse, I think it's verse 15. Let me see if that's the right verse I want.
What is it then?
That's the right verse I want. What is it then?
I will pray with the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And I will pray with the understanding also.
Brother, wait. When you go to God, Oh Lord, I want you to bless my children, and I want you to make the few hill I am that I plant there. And you're not just get carried away with emotion when you are praying to God. You hear? I will pray with the Spirit.
And I will pray with the understanding also.
You get that? The intellect must always be involved. It's not just an emotional get loose. No. When we deal with God, the intellect, the intelligence, and all that controls us must be involved. Read on.
I will sing with the Spirit.
Wait. I get carried away. The song was so nice. Yes, the song is nice, and we enjoy it. But be careful how you get carried away. Because the passage, I will sing with the Spirit.
And I will sing with the understanding
that
also.
That means in everything you do, your understanding should be involved, your intellect. Christianity is not, while emotion is involved, it is not largely an emotional thing. Are we all there? Look at verse 33.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints.
Everybody hear that? Wherever you see confusion, it matters not how religiously people are acting. If confusion is there, God is not a part of that confusion. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 13. Let us hear it.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear.
God has not given us the spirit of fear.
But of power.
But of power.
And of love.
And of love.
And of sound of a mind.
What? Sound mind. But Brother Mitchell, I always feel that some Christian act like them just drink a bottle of Ray and Nephew yesterday. If I or any Christian act like that, it's not from God. You see, people give you idea that the Holy Spirit is that power in there that throw people down and make people become uncontrollable. They are lying on the Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit, never cause anyone to act outside of him or herself. What? Don't move from that passage in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, did I say? Verse 7. Read it again. Quick.
For God had not given us the spirit of fear,
mm-hmm.
but of power.
And of power.
And of love.
And of love.
And of a sound mind.
Sound mind. When the Bible speaks about that which is sound, it means that which has no crack, that which has no defect. Are we all there? In it, sound mind. Christian, while we have emotion, we do not permit our emotion to misdirect us. Our reason must always have control over our emotion. Look at verse, that was verse 7. Look at verse 13, same passage.
Hold fast the form of sound words.
What type of word?
Sound words.
Sound words.
Which thou hast heard of me.
Mm-hmm.
In faith.
Wait. It's not just sound word coming from any and any place. What Paul is saying to Timothy, the teaching you got from me, the word fast means tight. Hold to it tenaciously.
Which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus.
Brothers and sisters, empty emotional religious ritual is not from Jesus Christ. Ritualism. We can probably have some brothers and sisters to march and dance around the communion table every time we are about it. That has no meaning for God. That's ritual. But you see, people love ritual. It give it a type of sense of mystery. And from what the report, it's like the ritual was carried on before. These people were told that they must come because selection will be made for those who is going to go to a heavenly trip in the ark. Is there nothing in them, in anybody there to ask the leader, whoever teach them, whoever promise that an ark is going to come to take them to some heavenly trip, to ask the right question? To ask, since you're a church, pastor, brother, where in the Bible do I find something like that in reference to us living here under the gospel of Christ? Where? Because even Noah's ark, no promise like that was made. Noah's ark was to stay on the water. It was really a boat, and that's what boat does. It doesn't take you to some heavenly place or whatever. It stay on top of the water that you don't get drowned. You know what, brothers and sisters, I want you to keep this in mind. There are many men and women who are searching for the nightclub dance hall experiences in church. Explain, Brother Mitchell. Thousands of religious men and women, they flock to some of these denominations that where they can dance, and where for the 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 hours of so-called worship, they forget the realities of life. They dance and it's pure emotion, because what they are looking for and what they have found in their man-made churches is the same experience they used to have at nightclub and dance hall, where for the 1 or 2 or 3 hours they are at the nightclub or dance hall, they forget the realities of life. Many men and women are seeking that's why people will ask, how comes you all don't have music in the church, and you don't, people want to clap and start to dance. Is it Sister Walker? Our Sister Michelle was telling me about the man him used to in dance hall, and when him go to the church and him start to wind his body and dance, It seems Ephesus started to pull his coattail, truly, because he was really carrying out at the so-called worship the same thing he does at the dance hall. That's why many men and women look for emotionalism. The same experience they used to have at nightclub and dance hall, they want to find it in worship. Those cannot be true worship to God. I have to wrap up in a few minutes here. Just one the part of the lesson. The other part, we're going to get down to some things that Christ touched on. That Christ and New Testament Christianity do not offer ego trips and escape from the realities of life. I'll be expanding more on this when we pick up on the lesson. Notice too that we'll be taking up come Sunday. Notice too the crave. Did I say crave? Yes. Notice the crave for titles. We'll be noticing what the Master says about this. Title, Brother Mitchell. Reverend, the most holy. The most holy, right reverend, His Excellency. Yeah, the one in Montego Bay, that's what you have to call him. His Excellency, Christ, commend. Jesus Christ commend on the very way we attire. Clothing was never meant by Jesus Christ to demonstrate who is in the clergy, quote unquote, and who is laity. You see, that the business where I have my collar turned behind and I wear a long gown to demonstrate who I am, that's not Christianity. And when we crave titles as God's people, Jesus Christ is going to show us that it is nothing but pride. And it is under condemnation. So wherever you go and find religious leaders, whoever, craving for titles, be it reverend. And it's not just these people in Mobay. There are many accepted. You see, the society wait until they get shock treatment when some outlandish, outrageous things are done. Christian must not wait until those things become so way out. We must enlighten ourselves by God's word to know what pure, simple New Testament Christianity is. Don't wait until it becomes so outrageous that it grabs the attention of everybody. No. In the quietness of things, false doctrine work like soda, baking powder. It undermines the true teachings of Jesus Christ. And it undermines your soul. When we pick up, we will spend some more time on these titles that religious leaders seek. We will look what Jesus Christ says. And we will try to answer the question, is bear a name comparable to the name Christian. We want to examine that. For now, brothers and sisters, and if there are those who are visiting with us, Jesus Christ's Christianity is revealed in the New Testament. If you want to know whether a church is right or whether it is a man-made thing, go to the Bible. Compare what the apostles of Christ taught, preached, and wrote with what that church teaches and preaches and practices. It's that simple. It's not hard. Let us not wait until we are given shock treatment to become alarmed. No. In the quietness of the subtlety of falsehood, let us study to show ourselves approved. And I beg you, we're not going to read any today. Did you know that the prophet who was eaten up by a wild beast that resulted from gullibility? We will examine that when we get back to this lesson next week. Don't be gullible. That is, learn to examine things. Learn to ask the right question. Learn that whenever you are seeking information that is important, on important issue, you get it from the right people. Don't listen to smart aleck in your neighborhood who doesn't know anything, and that's the person you listen to. I shared this with you already. Years ago, right above me on Beaconfield Avenue, a lady, we call her Mother G. Because for a certain few weeks, nobody heard about Sir Alexander Bustamante. I was persuaded that the man died. In dead and them hide it from you. And every time for about a week or two, that was what I was told until I started to begin to believe it. But days after, everybody in Jamaica knew that Bustamante didn't die. He was still alive. And I never forget experience like that, where people will talk like they were the doctor who examined Sir Alexander and pronounced him dead. My God, brothers and sisters, get your news from the right source. When it comes to Christianity, there is no righter source than the gospel. Not only should you not be fooled and be deceived, try to help those who are deceived. But it's not only with Christianity. The entire world is now suffering from misinformation when it comes to the COVID. The entire world. Because people pick up falsehood and misinformation all over and putting themselves and put you and me in danger. May God help us. There's more to be said on the subject, but next week. In the meantime, if you're here today, not a child of God, you want to become a Christian the Bible's way, you need to hear God's word, that Christ died for you, that he's your Lord and Savior, that you must believe in him, repent of your sin. You must confess faith in him, and you must, having repented, get baptized. That is God's way for everyone who is going to be saved the right way. If you're a child of God who has strayed, grown weak, backsliding, Christ wants to welcome you back. You can come today acknowledging your state and recommitting your life to Christ. As we sing, let us stand. Number 400.